As always, I am so blessed and privileged to be here to be able to share God's word with you. And we are continuing tonight with a series that Pastor Matt started about a month ago on the Lord's Prayer. And 2 weeks ago, I guess, we preached on the second petition. And tonight we're talking about the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us today our daily bread." Now, and that's from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. But before we exposit this prayer, look into it deeply, I would like to take you back with me in time to when I accepted Jesus Christ. I started church to learn and to grow and to understand. And after about 6 months, I knew in my head about God, and I believe the Bible, and I believe Jesus Christ is what he said he is. But it was just simply in my head, in my heart, I could not accept or receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And for night after night, I cried out to him, asking him to tell me why. And he came to me one night and said, "Hey, brother, you just cannot accept the fact that I truly love you." I could not believe that a holy God could love a miserable, wretched person as I was. And I had spent all 57 years of my life. Following morning, I was blessed to hear a message on the radio. And all of a sudden, that convicted me. And I could have sworn the pastor said, "Roy Herman, God has given me this message for you." And this message was about God's perfect love, the love for the sinners. And through that message, I was able to personalize John 3:16. And John 3:16 came to me as, "For God so loved me that he gave his only son for me." Ever since that day, every time I look at Scripture, I personalize that Scripture because God is speaking directly to me when I read that Scripture, and he's speaking directly to you when you read that Scripture. So I've personalized, put my name instead of somebody else's, or instead of the you's and the we's, it's the me's and the I's. So the Lord's Prayer then came out to me this way. And in my private time, this is how I pray the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, "Pray then in this way: My Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me today my daily bread, and forgive me my debts, as I also have forgiven my debtors. And lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one." Folks, I cannot reinforce the meaning of not only the Lord's Prayer, but God's personal promises to you when you personalize and take ownership and claim ownership to every one of the promises that God provides for us. It will take on a brand new and vital meaning of that promise when you claim it as yours. So let's look into this third petition: give us, or give me today, my daily bread. When we unpack Scripture, we look for the five W's and the one H: who, what, why, when, where, and how. And we try to use that to break down, to understand what's being said, why it's being said, who's saying it, and under what circumstance they're saying it. Well, in our passage for tonight, this third petition, the phrase "give us" answers the question, who? Us. Each one of us. The when is answered by today. Give me today. Thirdly, our daily bread reveals the what. Give us what? Give us our daily bread. And in the beginning of verse 9, pray then in this way tells us how. God's command for us to pray. So this leaves us with the words why. Why did Jesus instruct his disciples to pray this prayer? And understand that not only Jesus pray this for his or offer this for his disciples, he ultimately intends this for us. For us to pray in this manner. And I would suggest to you that the primary purpose of this petition was to instill upon these men, and subsequently to us, two very vital truths. The first is that he wants us to be at peace and to have peace in our hearts. And secondly, that in order to have peace, we must focus on him, the provider, and on him alone, and not on the provision itself. To focus on him and not the circumstance that's around us. But before we can discover how we can be at peace, we need to determine the obstacles that prevent us from experiencing the rest that Jesus desires for us. Proverbs 12 and 25a says that an anxious heart weighs a man down. The word anxious is also rendered as anxiety or worry. And worry is the primary cause of stress, which is the primary cause of strokes and heart attacks, and many, many other ailments that plague us. And don't you find it incredible that more than 3,000 years ago, well before the age of modern medicine, that Solomon understood exactly how anxiety and stress and worry affects us. And it's interesting to note that the old English word for worry literally means to choke or to strangle. Folks, that's what worry does to us. It strangles us and often leaves us helpless. But you know what? Worrying does not work. It accomplishes absolutely nothing. It takes a lot of energy, but it never gets us anywhere. It's sort of like being in a rocking chair, going back and forth and back and forth, and getting absolutely nowhere. And it's critical to understand that absolutely nothing changes due to our worrying, except us. Except us. Worry is the major cause of stress in our life, and often causes us to seek consolation through drink, drugs, sex, and many other addictions. It affects us in ways that we cannot even understand. We are not able to understand the way worry affects us. The question is there something that we can do to reduce or eliminate our worry? And the answer is yes. Absolutely yes. Philippians 4 and verses 6 and 7 say this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Give it to God. When we're worried, give it over to God. But what kind of a prayer do I pray in order for me not to worry? And what do I pray for? Jesus answers the question in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 and 11 when he says, pray then in this way, give us today our daily bread. In this little passage, Jesus gives us three keys on how to overcome worry. First, the passage says, give us, which is asking for God's assistance. So instead of worrying, request his help. Request his help. Ask for help from the one who has the authority and the ability and the resources and the desire to provide all that we need. And James in chapter 4, verse 2b says, you do not have because you do not ask God. And over 20 times in the New Testament, God says, ask. Ask me. I'm here for you. Ask me. He is waiting for us to ask him. And the things you're worrying about, don't worry about them. Instead, he says, ask me. Because nothing, absolutely nothing, God says, is out of my control. If we prayed as much as we worried, we'd have a whole lot less to worry about. Actually, worrying is an attempt to control something that is uncontrollable. When we feel helpless, we start worrying. While it may be out of our control, it is not out of God's control. And Matthew and Mark and Luke all tell us that Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. He says, all things are possible with who?
God.
Amen, yes. Yes, all things are possible. Not just a few things. Not just some things. But all things are possible with God. And the Bible tells us that God knows our needs even before we do. You know, I suspect that God has already set aside for us the things that we need for today and for tomorrow, and he's just waiting for us to ask him for them. I also think that there may be a lot of blessings with our names on them going to waste because we didn't ask God for them. Is your name on any of these provisions that he has already bundled for you, but yet you're not asking him for? You have not because you ask not. How much more would we have? And I'm not talking of physical things, material things. How much more peace? How much more rest? How much more contentment would we have if we asked God for that? I encourage you, when you're feeling down and out, that's the time to go to God and ask for those blessings. Ask him for that peace and that contentment in your life. But why does God want us to ask him? Because he is the source of all things. Paul, in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, tells Timothy to command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God wants us to see him as the source of all of our needs. Not man, not things. He wants us to see him for all that we need. What kind of needs are we talking about? What kind of needs? When I don't know what to do, God is my wisdom. When I run out of energy, God is my source of strength. When I feel like everything is caving in and depressing me, God is the source of my joy. He is the source of hope when things look helpless. When life becomes stressed out, and we all have those moments, God is my source of peace. Jehovah Shalom, God is my peace. When I'm irritated or about to blow up, God is my source of patience. And when I'm overwhelmed with guilt, which we all are from time to time, God is the source of my salvation. And when I feel like giving up, God is my source of encouragement. He propels us through areas of our lives which we cannot possibly get through without his help. Don't we have a great God? Amen, amen. He is the source of all of these things. When he says, look to me, he's waiting for us to ask for his help. And if you're not asking today, on a regular basis, every day, give me this day, give me today my daily bread, you're missing out on what God has for you. And if when you start doing that, you will be amazed how he comes through for you. Why? Because he's promised to come through for us when we seek his help as his children. The second key to this passage says to trust God's timing. It says today, today. I think the most difficult part of praying is waiting for God to answer our prayers. And if he doesn't answer immediately, we wonder if he has even heard it. And if he did, then why hasn't he given me what I asked for and when I want it? Scripture tells us that God hears every prayer his children make. We say, God, I need it now. But God says, no, you don't. You need it when I say you need it. Remember, he knows what's right and what's best for us. We don't. But God knows. And I'm sure that you've discovered that God's timing is not the same as ours. As a matter of fact, a lot of time it's way, way off. Way, way off. But God's timing is perfect. But waiting requires what? Faith. It requires faith. We must trust God's timing. I think many of you know that Sherry prayed for me for 18 years to come to know the Lord. Don't you think she was stressed out? When is he going to come to know the Lord? But she realized it's all based on his perfect timing and not on ours. So instead of worrying and saying, God, how and when is this going to work out? God says, hang loose, pal. Trust my timing. I got you covered. That's the kind of God that we have. You know, somebody once said, it ain't over till it's over, right? I think we talked about this. But you know what? All things work out in the end. If it hasn't worked out yet, you know what? It's not the end. Allow God to work in your life according to his plan and his purpose, and have the faith and patience to wait for him to work in your life. He wants us to trust him daily, moment by moment. Give me today my daily bread, not weekly, not monthly, not annually, but daily, every day, in every way. Listen, it's a statement of trust. It's a statement of trust when we wait for him. You know, if God gave us everything we ever need for the rest of our lives all at once, how often would we come back and talk to him? For some, probably not very often. He wants us to focus on him and not on what he can provide for us. We need to look at the provider, not the provision. He is not going to give us everything we need all at once. He'll give it to us one day at a time. Why? So we can keep depending on him one day at a time, because he is our source from his riches. But how do I get the faith to live that day-by-day lifestyle, trusting God for today and not worrying about tomorrow? How do we do that? It's simple. You read the Bible, God's Word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. When we're in the Bible, our faith is elevated because we see how God is working, and we can put our trust in him. And you know, the more I read the Bible, the more I study, the more I fill my mind with the stories from the Bible, the greater my faith grows. Why? Because there are examples in the Bible that span over thousands of years of how God always provides for those he calls his children. The Bible speaks volume of his faithfulness in providing for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. God has demonstrated a track record, a whole book of illustrations that tell us how he always provides for us. So if your faith is weak and you need examples of God's provision, read your Bible and pay particular attention to the book of Exodus, where for 40 years in the desert, God fed 3 million people on a daily basis. Now that's providing, isn't it? 3 million people for 40 years. He sent bread from heaven that literally covered the ground. Can you imagine how much bread that is? I wonder if a mathematician ever tried to figure it out. I don't know, but it's got to be a lot of bread. The bread was called manna, which is the Hebrew word for what is it? Nobody knew what it was. They had never seen it before. They had no idea what it was. But it was bland and it was tasteless, but it was nourishing. But they had to get up early in the morning to gather their manna for the day. Because God said, if you take more than you need for today, it'll turn rotten and it'll be useless. God didn't say, don't work. He said, don't worry. His provision is not an invitation to be lazy, to sit back and let somebody else gather it for you. He says, you go out and gather it for yourself and take enough for today, and I will provide more. He expects us to work for the crust, to work for the bread. He wants us to gather for today and then come back tomorrow for more. Here again, he did this simply because he wanted his people to learn to come back to him every single day for their provision. And that's the basis of Jesus' instruction for us to pray, give us today our daily bread. Allow us to have the sustenance we need today, and we'll come back for more tomorrow. Are you waking each morning thanking God for his provision for you and asking God to carry you through this day through his strength and not your strength? If you're not, perhaps it's time to start. God wanted his people then to be totally dependent on him, and that hasn't changed. God wants us today to be totally dependent on him. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, not our will. But he says in Matthew, the Bible says in Matthew 6 and 34, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But if we go to God each day for his provision, we don't have to worry about the next day. We'll come back the next day and he will provide more for us. But before we can truly put aside our worries, we must heed the words just prior to what Matthew said. He said, Matthew 6, he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And oh, how I pray that you are seeking him and depending on him every single day too. God says, seek me, put me first in your life, and I will provide for you all that you need to get you through today. And we'll handle that tomorrow when tomorrow comes. The third and last key to remember is to remember God's resources, our daily bread. Worry means that we've forgotten or do not believe God's promise that he has unlimited resources for us at His disposal. That's striking, isn't it? When we worry, we are questioning God's ability to provide for us each and every day of our lives. See, folks, bread represents the basic necessities of life. Everything we need, our sustenance, what it takes to keep us going through the day. He can and will provide all that we need every day when we believe Him and ask Him for it. I cannot sufficiently emphasize that God is concerned about all of our needs. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." And what does all include? It includes everything, all that we need. Listen, if this verse is really true, that He will provide all that we need, what are we worrying about? Why do we worry if we truly believe what God tells us? All anxiety and worrying is useless and worthless if God can really supply and will supply all that we need. The word here is need. Scripture doesn't say God shall supply all of our greed. And there's a big difference. He doesn't supply all that we want. He supplies all that we need. And you know as well as I do that we are not very good judges of what we need most. But you know what? God knows. God knows what we need most. We don't, because we're still selfish, self-centered people who, to some degree, still live in this world. God gives us what we need, not what we want, because He is a loving and caring God. He is what? Our Father in heaven. One might ask, why doesn't God give us everything we want? Because He knows that we have a sinful nature and we will misuse most of our wants. In a sense, He is protecting us from ourselves. That is the degree to which God loves us, to protect us, to keep us, to provide for us. And Philippians 4:19 says that God is going to supply it out of His glorious riches. God's ability to provide is greater than your anxiety. Whatever you are uptight about, God has more ability than your anxiety. So come to God, ask for His assistance, and remember His resources. Matthew 6 and verse 27, Jesus tells us, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life?" Then He says in verse 31, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things." Now, brothers and sisters, I beg you to listen very carefully to this truth. A constant state of worry means that your faith in our Almighty God has faltered, and you have ceased to fully believe in His promises. Let me repeat that. A constant state of worry means that your faith in our Almighty God has faltered, and you have ceased to fully believe in His promises. That smacks you right in the kisser, doesn't it? Worrying means that we don't believe God. And that hurts. When it hurts to think that we are concerned over things that God says, "Hey, I'll take care of it." Are we trusting in Him or not? You have to answer that for yourselves, my brothers and sisters. Nobody can answer that for you. But please search your own hearts. And when worry comes over you, ask yourself that question. am I concerned about things that God is in control over? Am I going to allow God to provide for me according to His promises and according to His riches? Ask yourself that question. Friends, it's a sad thing that many people verbalize the Lord's Prayer on a very regular basis, expecting God to answer the third request, to give me today my daily bread, while ignoring the second petition of the prayer that we spoke of a couple of weeks ago, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God says, put my priorities first. Put me first in your life. Then you can ask for your needs, and I will provide for them. Asking God to fulfill your needs without first putting Him first in your life just doesn't cut it. Remember, this promise is not for everybody. It's a promise for those who put God first in their lives. Put Him first and pray for His will in your life, and then you can expect God to honor His guarantee to meet each one of your needs. And the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verse 31, since God did not spare even His own Son for us, but gave Him up for us all, won't He surely give us everything else? Do we believe that? I pray that you do. I pray that you believe that. If God loved us enough to give His own Son, to sacrifice Him, to die on the cross for us, don't you think we can trust Him to give us today our daily bread and meet all of our needs? If God loved me enough to send Jesus to the cross, certainly He loves me enough to keep shoes on my feet and clothes on my back. Why? Because I have put Him first in my life. He's waiting for me to ask, and He's anxious to give. So instead of being anxious and worrisome about the problem, ask God for His assistance and put your full faith and trust in Him. Again, Matthew 6:34 says, each day has enough trouble of its own. You can plan for the future, but you must live for today. As much as you try, you cannot live in the past or live in the tomorrow. You must live in the present. You see, that worry is an attempt to control both the past and the future, and it doesn't do a thing for you. Don't worry about the past you can't change, and don't worry about the future that you can't alter. Worry doesn't change the past, and it doesn't change the future. All it does is messes us up. It makes us miserable today when we worry and stress ourselves out over things that God is in control over. But what can we do not to worry? Let's look at the application of all of this. The answer is to pray and live one day at a time. Psalm 68:19 tells us to praise the Lord who daily bears our burdens. Notice the consistency. Give us today. And the Lord who daily bears our burdens, every day He wants to take care of us. Every day. And that's why Jesus tells us to pray, give me today my daily bread. When we really make God the source of our lives and look to Him to provide all of our needs, we become more at peace. Circumstances just don't bother us anymore. As Paul says, I become content in all circumstances because he knew that God would provide, and we know that God will provide if we ask Him and put our faith in Him to provide. We look beyond the circumstance to the One who is ultimately in control, and we just don't sweat it anymore. We look to Jehovah Shalom, our God who is peace, for the strength to deal with whatever situation comes upon us. And we must look to Jesus, who said in John chapter 6 and verses 48 through 51, He says, I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. So when we say, give us today my daily bread, we are in reality saying, give us today our Jesus. Because he is the bread of life. He provides all the sustenance that we need to get through each and every day. Give me this day my Jesus. Once we learn to deal with these anxieties of life, we can confidently proclaim the words of this great philosopher and theologian, Alfred E. Newman from Mad Magazine, who said, what, me worry? My brothers and sisters, you too can have that same attitude when you rely on our Lord and Savior's instruction to pray, give me today my daily bread. Give me today my Jesus. Now's a good time for an amen.
Amen.
God bless you.